So I want you to look at this lesson with me today. Today being the 22nd day of March 2026, we're going to look at the second part of this lesson entitled Resurrection and Belief. Today we're looking at this lesson, the second part of it, Resurrection and Belief. And last Sunday, we looked at several things on here. We looked at the resurrection of Lazarus, the situation with him, the revelation at Lazarus' resurrection. We got down into the most part of that, but today I want us to look at verses 38 through 44, John chapter number 11. And we're looking at this today, and I want you to see God's plan unfolded and the reason the reason that was revealed for Lazarus becoming sick. You know, sometimes we go through an awful lot of things and we don't understand it. And we're just tried and tempted on every side. It seemed like, boy, it just seemed like the devil is trying to do everything he can do to cause us to doubt God, to get away from God and not keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary and Martha, as we looked at last week in the lesson, they were saying, Lord, if only you had been here. Lord, if only you could have been here, our brother would not have died. And you know what? When Jesus saw their compassion, their sorrow of heart, he had compassion on them. And even the people noted last week how that he loved him. In verse number 36 of John chapter 11, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And we see that. How that God, the Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, loved not only Lazarus, but Mary and Martha. And he loved all of these people. And he wanted them, he wanted his disciples to come to see and understand truth. That he is indeed the resurrection and the life. And you know, I'm thankful for that today. Now, I want us to look at this beginning in verses 38 through 44. We see God's plan unfolded. And we see here the reason for Lazarus becoming sick. Now, I want you to go back and remember what Jesus told them back in verse number 4. If you look at John chapter 11, verse number 4, Jesus told the disciples, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. All that happens in our lives, folks, listen to me. It is designed to bring honor and glory unto God. I'm talking about the good times as well as the bad times. I'm talking about everything that happens in our lives. We don't understand it many times. I just can't figure it out, and I've stopped trying to figure it out. It's no sense in me sitting up at night worrying about it if God's got control of it. Amen? And so we just let him take care of it. I came home last night. I got home, left here last night, going on 9 o'clock. And Pastor Comstock and them had their international Spanish dinner. Well, my wife was fixing tacos at home, and I love tacos. I don't eat many, you know, 6 or 7, but we fix a lot of them, and I love them. And so Pastor Comstock said, well, you got to come up here and get some of these tamales and enchiladas and all that stuff. So I took 4 containers home with us last night of stuff that they fixed up and sat down and ate it. And even Sophia, little Chinese Sophia, ate some of it. She said, I like this. This is good. My wife is in there going like this. And, you know, and we loved it. We loved it. I sat down on the couch last night or on the recliner, and I was going to practice my parts. And I don't remember another thing until I got up this morning about 5 o'clock. I woke up on that recliner this morning about 5 o'clock, cold because the windows were open in the living room and everything else. But you know what? We don't need to worry about these things. God has a plan. And Jesus had a plan here, and it was to bring honor and glory to his name and to let these disciples see and to know that he was truly God in the flesh. Think about that today. They walked and talked and fellowshipped with the God, the Almighty God, the creator of all the universe in flesh. They walked with him. They talked with him. And folks, listen to me. when Jesus died, was buried, arose from the dead, and ascended back into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit of God, that other comforter, who would dwell within us as believers. The moment we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God becomes our indwelling Holy Spirit. He lives within us. These bodies, they're just a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. They're the bottle that holds the sweet perfume of heaven. Amen. That's what he is. And you know what? We have the same comforter in the Holy Spirit that these disciples had in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he dwells with us. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. So we need to go to him and let him know, listen, we're trusting you. We don't understand, Lord. We can't figure these things out. But God, we're going to trust you. We're going to obey you. And we're going to depend upon you for all things. Jesus told them here in verse number 38, the impossible situation is seen here. And in verse 38, Jesus, we read here, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And in the first part of verse 39, Jesus gives instructions to these folks to remove the stone from the mouth of the cave tomb. And here the Bible said, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. The thing that had sealed that dead body in. Taken away. But now you see the fear and the doubt that comes from Martha in the latter part of this verse. Because the Bible said, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Think about this. He's been in the tomb. It's hot over there. It's in that tomb. And he's been dead for how many days? 4 days now. And Martha brings that up. There's fear, there's doubt about what the Lord Jesus is doing. But look at verse number 40. Look at verse number 40. The Bible said, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And in verses 41 and 42, the stone is rolled away. Thanks is given to God for the situation at hand by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He gives God thanks and glory. And look what the Bible said. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. You see, after everything that Jesus had done for them, after all that Jesus had done and said, there are many that still did not believe. Many that did not believe. Oh, people say, oh, I believe in God. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. I know God's going to send a Redeemer. He's going to send the Messiah. But they did not believe that Jesus was that promised one. They did not believe that he was God in the flesh. But you know what? Jesus didn't give up on them. He loved them anyway. Amen. And I thought when I read this, I thought, how many times before I got saved did I turn him away? And I didn't trust him. And my first time that he dealt with my heart could have been my last time. But the grace and mercy of God was extended to me. And because that grace and mercy was extended to me, I want to be found faithful to extend that same type of attitude toward others that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we keep teaching, we keep preaching, we keep going out and telling folks about the Lord Jesus. Why? Because people are dying and going to hell, and they need to be saved. And Jesus saw the need. He had a love. He had a concern for the people. And now, in verses 43 and 44, we see the very power of Almighty God in the Lord Jesus Christ right here on display before these people. Look at it with me. John chapter 11, verses 44 through 43 through 44. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, to the crowd that was there, loose him and let him go. Amen. Man, that's what Jesus did to me when he saved me. He loosed me and he let me go. Amen. He let me go and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I'm reminded here of this passage, found of a passage I found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. It says this, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, I want you to look at this a minute. Verses 43 through 44. The cry was so loud that everybody there could hear it. Everybody heard the cry, what he cried out. And look at this. The cry was specific so that all would know who he was calling out for. It was specific. The cry was powerful so that all could be able to see the power of God revealed. And then the cry was revealing so that all could understand. All could understand what? They could understand who Jesus was and is and ever shall be. That he is indeed the Almighty Son of God in the flesh. And that they wanted, Jesus wanted them to see the power that he had to raise the dead. Can you imagine raising the dead? Man, I wish I could have been able to do that at the hospital Tuesday night with Brother James. And Isaac called me. He said, Pastor, would you come? He said, my dad passed away. We left practice here Tuesday night. And they had called him and said, we think your dad's had a heart attack. We're going down to the hospital. And in the ambulance, you know, he did not make it. And got there and had to tell the family that he had passed. He had a blood clot in his leg. And he'd been on a trip from Barcelona back to the United States and hurting in his leg, and it traveled up, and he died from it. And I thought, as we sat in that room, and his body's laying there on that table, and I'm sitting there with his son, and his son saying, I don't understand this. I just don't understand. Today is my birthday. He said, my dad took us to eat tonight for my birthday. We had such a good time tonight for my birthday. I don't understand. And I thought, man, I wish I could do something here. I wish I could be able to do something, but God had a reason. We don't understand it. These folks didn't understand it. But you know what? Jesus stepped in and said, I want you to see the power of God and know that I am God in the flesh. Listen to me today, folks. We need to see the power that Jesus has. We need to understand that the certainty of the Scriptures makes all the difference in the world. And the Word of God made the difference in the life of the Brooks family, in the lives of the families that we've had to deal with all this week, with deaths and heartaches and things like that have come their way. And you know what? The Bible said in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, Paul wrote there and he said this. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them, or shall not keep them from coming which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Man, think about that today. No more departing, no more leaving, no more sorrow, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then look at verse 18. He said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The certainty of the Scriptures. They bring comfort. They bring strength. They bring joy. They bring hope to our lives when we don't have that. So here we see the revelation of Lazarus' resurrection. But now in verses 45 and 46, look at this. We see the results of Lazarus' resurrection. In verses 45, John chapter 11, verses 45 and 46, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. That was the whole purpose of it, folks, to bring folks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Don Bittman, he's been praying for his family, raised Catholic, all kinds of stuff. Nobody wants to talk to him. He hadn't had the opportunities to share the message of the gospel. And his mother died just a couple weeks ago. Brother Don flew up to Massachusetts to be up there. And they're going to have a service. And the priest couldn't come, could he? God worked something else out. And the priest couldn't be there. Didn't have anybody to speak. But Brother Don got to speak. And for all these years, he's been wanting, desiring to tell his family about the Lord Jesus Christ and give them the gospel. And he's not had that opportunity. But on this occasion, he had the opportunity to stand boldly and freely and present the Word of God, God's plan of salvation. And he planted the seeds. Every one of his family was there, got to hear the plan of salvation. And he got to hear the gospel. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you know what? We don't know how many folks trusted Christ as their Savior, but he got to plant the seed. And you know what? The Bible said here, when these Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things which Jesus did, when they came, they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw that it was real. And you know what? That's what they need to see in our lives today. That's what they need to see in each of our lives, that Jesus Christ is real. But look at this. While you got some that believe, look at the next part. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Notice here that many believed, but there were still some there that chose not to believe. And they chose to run and spread their evil gossip about Jesus to all the scribes and the Pharisees and stir up trouble again. You know, the contrast of this particular group that chose not to believe Jesus that he did implies that these folks just wanted to criticize. All they wanted to do was criticize and kill off the work that Jesus was trying to do. It didn't matter what Jesus did. If he fed them, if he had clothed them, if he had preached to them, it didn't matter what he did. They wanted to find something critical to criticize him and try to do away with him. That's how evil they really were. And this same group of believers and unbelievers, these unbelievers and reprobates today, they still exist in our world today. Folks are turning away from God and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to believe it. But God has a purpose and plan for everything. Amen. When your car breaks down, God has a plan. Amen. Thursday night, Miss Kathy was going out visiting. She and Trish are going out visiting. And her check engine light came on. And she said, pray that everything will work out okay with my check engine light as I go out visiting tonight. Well, guess what? They got out, did their visiting, and the check engine light came on, and the car went dead. Wouldn't run. Wouldn't do anything. Couldn't get it going. Thought maybe it was a battery. So she calls AAA and gets a guy to come out. He comes out and checks it. It's not the battery. It's the alternator. So they got to tow her car all the way back to Fairfield, Pennsylvania. That's a little haul, okay? That's just a little haul up there. And you know what? The guy that came with the battery work called for another guy with a tow truck. And the guy with the tow truck came. And he came. And Trish had him for quite a while coming back because he brought her back to the church. He had to make a trip down here to Finksburg. So in the trip coming back from them visiting, she got to win that fellow to Christ in the tow truck coming back. On the way back from here to Fairfield, which is a 45-minute more drive, and close to an hour, She had all that time, and that guy was a captive in the cabin of that truck. And she got to share the gospel with him. And he and his little turban both bowed their heads and trusted Christ as her Savior. And you know what? Two new people were born into the family of God. All because grief and sorrow came, but God had a plan. God had a plan. And now I want you to look at this. The results of Lazarus' resurrection. In verses 47 through 57, we see the reaction to Lazarus being raised up, his resurrection. The Pharisees and those other unbelievers were all upset because of all the miracles that Jesus continues to do before the people. He does those because he wants the people to believe. And when you read in verses 47 and 48, you see that. And they conclude in verse 48 that if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. Well, that's the purpose that he came. Amen. They said, man, if we don't do something, everybody's going to follow after Jesus. Well, I wish that that would happen today, that everybody would choose to follow after Jesus. Boy, we'd have a whole lot less problems in our world, wouldn't it? But this is when their true colors came out. This is where their concerns are seen in the latter part of that same verse when they proclaim, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. They were worried about losing power. They had control of the people. They were motivating the people to do things that were not according to the scriptures. They were contrary to the word of God, but they felt good about their power. Boy, they felt good because they had power and the Romans had given them the authority to do this stuff. But man, if he continues like this, man, we're going to lose everything. So we got to do something about this troublemaker. We got to do something about him. And in verses 49 through 53, we see the reaction of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the comments made by the high priest Caiaphas. Now I want you to look at this. Verses 49 through 53. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. You see, God had a plan. God had a plan. And these folks, even though they hated the truth, they hated the Savior, God was going to use that to bring forth his plan for your sake and for mine, as well as the nation of Israel. People today, they say, I don't believe that Bible. It's just been written by books. There's nothing that you could do or say to prove to me that the Bible is true. I said, oh yeah, I can give you two words that proves that the Bible is true. They said, two words? That's all? I said, yep, two words. The Jews. The Jews. God has claimed them as his own chosen people. The nation of Israel is God's. It belongs to God. That land over there that everybody's fighting about right now, it all belongs to his children. And one day they're going to have it. Now, they don't like it right now. They don't like all this stuff going on. And everybody around them is fighting over this one little speck called Israel. But you know what? God's going to turn the tables on them. Amen? And God had a plan. Here, the high priest spoke up against Jesus. And he demands that Jesus must die for the sake of the nation, as well as their dreams and their plans. And while Caiaphas' main concern, all his concern was for that Jesus should die, God used this man's attitude toward Jesus to make certain that Jesus did die according to the Scriptures. Now think about it. Everything that the psalmist David prophesied, everything that Isaiah, Micah, and Malachi, and all these other men of God prophesied would happen, it came to pass just as Jesus, or as God's Word said. And not only for the sake of the nation of Israel, but as we see in verse 42, the Bible said, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. And look at verse 53. It goes on to say, then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Now I want you to take note of verse 54. In verse 54, John writes, Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. These Jews that had rejected Christ had just given away their last opportunity. They didn't have it again. He didn't walk among them again. I can't imagine what it would have been like to have the Son of God walking, talking in our midst. But he walked no more among them. And from this point forward, John records no more miracles or public works performed by Jesus. As a matter of fact, the last miracle performed, and you'll see this in our presentation this year, was when Malchus had his ear cut off. And Jesus reached down, put that ear back on his head, stuck it on there just good as new. No more miracles are performed. Jesus now has one purpose, and that is to go to the cross of Calvary, to suffer and bleed and to die for your sins and for mine. And sadly, since the nation of Israel had rejected Jesus, and the religious leaders had made up their mind to join forces to have Jesus put to death, Jesus now simply withdraws himself from the public, and he makes no further attempts, none, zero, to convince them that he is their true Messiah. And that's sad. If you go back to John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, John summed it all up by saying this. He wrote this. He said, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. They made a choice. They chose to reject the Savior. They chose to do away with him, to kill him, so that they could remain in power, so that they could just have their way. And little did they know that in all reality, they were fulfilling God's plan for the Savior to come to this world, to suffer, to bleed, and to die. And in verses 55 through 57, we see there that the Jews now watched for Jesus everywhere they went, especially since it was Passover time, because the Bible said they had one purpose, and that purpose was that they might take him. That they might take him. Now, I want us to move to John chapter 12, just a moment. John chapter 12. As we look at verses 1 through 50, and I won't get all this done. I can tell you right now, I won't get it all done, but I'll give you a big part of it anyway. In John chapter 12, the public ministry to the unbelieving Jews has come to an end. And next week, as we look at this thing, as we go through all this stuff, we're going to see how in the next chapter, Jesus prepares his disciples for his departure. For his departure. They don't know, they don't understand the fact that he is going to die and leave them. They can't figure that out. They don't understand it. They know something's up. They know the Jews want to kill him. They know the Jews want to do away with him. They know that the Jews hate him and despise him and are watching everywhere they go for him, but they don't really fully understand that Jesus has come to die. For the wages of sin is what? Death. And Jesus came to pay that price for you and for me. And here, as we look at this, we see Jesus return to Bethany. In verses 1 through 11, we see this. And he comes back to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And in verse 2, we see that they prepared him a supper. And in verse 3, Mary anoints his feet with precious spikenard and then wipes his feet with her own hair. And no doubt this little town was still in a buzz. Okay, think about it. This is the house where Lazarus, the dead man, was raised from the dead. And not only are folks coming to see Jesus, but they're coming to see the one that was dead and is now alive, Lazarus. And you know what? In verses 4 through 8, we see the bitterness and the greed that's in the heart of Judas Iscariot, as well as Jesus' rebuke to Judas for his hypocritical statement. He makes a statement here about caring for the poor. Judas didn't care for the poor. He held the bag. He held the money. All he wanted was money, money, money. There are a lot of folks today in the ministry for money, money, money. That's all they ever talk about. And you know what? That's not what the ministry is about. The ministry is about reaching the people with the message of the gospel. And Jesus here, he wanted them to understand and know that he had come for a purpose. Now, Martha and Lazarus, through the offering of their home to Jesus as Jesus' home, especially Mary, with this great offering of spikenard, that was an expensive gift. And she anointed his body because that was what God wanted him to do. But she anointed his body, and they proved their love, their affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at verse number 9. Much people of the Jews, therefore, that he knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. And now, sadly, they not only wanted to condemn Jesus and eventually put him to death, but now they wanted to put Lazarus to death. Now think about this. Here's a man that was sick. He died. Jesus came and raised him from the dead. And all this religious crowd, the critical crowd, all they wanted to do was to condemn Jesus, put him to death, and kill any witnesses of what he had done, and Lazarus was a main witness. Look at what verses 10 and 11 say. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, I'm going to stop right there and just remind you of something. This is why Christians today are now being called domestic terrorists. Christians today are being criticized and condemned for trying to preach the gospel. To stand up and say, it's not right for you to teach my little four-year-old that he's not a boy, but he's a girl. It's not right for you to take my child in school and have these drag queen things, whatever they are, come in and have these programs without asking our permission. And they stand up and they stand against those things that are wrong, and they try to give them the truth of the gospel, and automatically they're condemned and looked down on because they try to do what's right. Lazarus was telling them. He was a witness of what it was like to once be dead, but now be alive through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. You may not have died physically yet, but you are dead. I was dead in my trespasses and my sins. But Jesus removed the stone of sin, and he raised me from the dead and quickened me and made me to be his child. Amen? And we are witnesses of that today. And that's why the world does not like what you've got to say. But listen to me. It should not remove the love that God has placed in your heart for those who are lost. We got to love them. You know what? Because were it not for the grace of God, that could have been me. That could have been you. And we could still be lost in our sins today. Man, I'm going to pick up on this in verse number 12, where we see Jesus ride into Jerusalem next week. And we're going to finish up the lesson next week. But man, I'm telling you, the resurrection makes a difference. Resurrection and belief, they go hand in hand with what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I love you today, and I thank you for the blessed resurrection of your Son, Jesus. My heart is grieved that he had to suffer and to bleed and to die as he did for me on that cross. But thank you, dear God, for loving me that much, that you would allow your own Son to die in my place. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help me to be a faithful witness to you today. I pray, dear God, for this class, and I pray, God, for every member of this class and our church that knows you as their Savior, that you'll fill us with your power, with your boldness, and help us, dear God, to be bold witnesses for you in all that we say and do. Bless us now as we go into the preaching service. I pray, dear God, that you'll give me the wisdom and the strength, Lord, to stand and to preach what thus saith the Lord. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for getting to be in Sunday school class.